Father, gathering here to meet with you, and we expect your presence because you promised it. And God, we just want to just yield ourselves to you and flow with the flow of the Spirit, Lord. And may you be pleased with all that's done tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll read some scriptures, then I want to talk to you, then we'll get into a little study. Exodus chapter 17. And then put a second finger in 1 Corinthians 10. Behold, I stand before thee, there upon the rock in Oreb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. 1 Corinthians 10:4. And did all drink that same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. May the Lord add his blessing. You may be seated. I was listening to the tape this morning, the ever-present water from the rock. And when I read about Moses smiting the rock, and it said the water came out abundantly. Now, you have to imagine what abundantly is. There was 2 million people and all their flocks. And so this was, I've seen the Sunday school pictures of a little child walking up to a little spew out of a rock and he's holding his cup. It would take people die from starvation or die from thirst before the water could ever get to them. So it's an abundant flow. And the thing of it is, it's still flowing. Because the rock is still with us. In fact, the rock has been kind of bound away from the people by tradition, but released by the opening of the seven seals. So Christ the rock and the flowing of the water is in our midst. So all of that becomes ours. So therefore, as I was reading that, I was thinking about the term the abundant life. And John 10:7, I'll just read it to you. And then Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that came before me are thieves, robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but to steal, to kill, and destroy. We hear that part of the verse quoted often. The second part of that same verse. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. More abundantly. So the abundant life, that's God's promise. That's why he came. That's why the ever-present water from the rock is with us for the abundant life. Now, this is not a Pentecostal prosperity doctrine. This is Bible. This is Bible. They got their thought from the Bible. You know, and because some people have run off to left field with the concept of prosperity, we've kind of shied away from it, but it's ours. There's a principle of giving in the Bible. Give and it shall be given back to you. Shaken down, running over. But we stay away from it for certain message reasons. But still, it's Bible. It's Bible, see? And so all this, the abundant life, we're promised that. We read about in the church age book, it says Christians are generally a little more on the poor side and so forth. Yeah, because they focus on the kingdom first, but still there's an abundant life that comes with that. We don't have, I don't know about very many millionaires in our midst, but nevertheless, we have an abundant life. An abundant life. We've got things flowing into us and out of us that the world spends millions trying to find something to give them what we've got free. Joy, peace, satisfaction. They're all trying to find that joy, find that peace, find that satisfaction, and Christ has given it to us by the flowing of the water out of the rock. Today I came into, I was studying. I'll tell you the whole story. Brother Bob and I got together on the phone this morning to talk about who was going to take tonight's service. And it turned out he had a bundle of things on his plate that he needed to do and getting ready for the new sanctuary, people to contact, things to do, plus some of his own business. And mine was more of the normal daily routine things that I was going to take care of out of the church office. And so we decided his for the natural things was more important, so he could focus on that. So I thought, well, I'll get ready for service. Besides, I think I'd like to continue a little long and more on the 70 weeks of Daniel. And so I got on my notes, 70 weeks of Daniel, and I realized that some of them were still here at the office because I didn't take everything home because I expected to be into the office first thing this morning, but I can't study in the office, too much activity there. So I came in, got the stuff, went back home again, and I'd study and fall asleep and study and pray and then fall asleep, and I just couldn't get into it, could not get into it. And so then I thought, well, this must not be what I'm supposed to have for tonight. Obviously, I'm not getting any inspiration out of this. So the thing that sparked me all of a sudden was Malachi chapter 1. Turn with me to that. And then out of that came the thoughts that I want to continue on with. I hate to admit it, but I can't remember the last time I read Malachi 1. Read Malachi 4, I read Malachi 3, I read those often, but Malachi 1, hardly ever read it. Don't know why, just haven't. But now something just really jumped out at me. Malachi 1:1. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. Now Malachi was also one of those many prophets around the time of Ezra and Nehemiah at the rebuilding of the temple. So he was one of the encouragers of the temple rebuilding. So there's a lot of activity, prophetic activity going on during the rebuilding of the temple. Verse 2. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Okay, now there's our declaration. God said, I have loved you. Now, no question about it. That's right. God said, God's word is fixed. I have loved you. Yet you say, wherein have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob and I hated Esau. What? How have you loved us, Lord? Well, I loved Esau and I hated Jacob. What an answer. What an answer. What is he telling him? Let's look on a little further. Verse 3 again. I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons in the wilderness, whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down, and they shall call them the border of wickedness and the people against whom the Lord has indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and you shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. So now, how did he show his love? Elective love. Amen. Elective love. I hated Jacob, I loved Esau. I've chosen you, I love you. That's how I show my love. It's elective love. What a love. What gave you the ability to believe Malachi 4? Luke 17:30, Revelations 10:7. What gave you the ability? Elective love. See? God sent his word and drew you into what he is doing today to unveil to you himself. Amen. And the revelation of himself. Elective love. You say, does God love me? Election. Election. That's the way God shows his love. It's an elective love. So in the cross references, if you've got a Scofield Bible, you'll see where I'm going by the cross references, but go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. This same principle of elective love, and I just want to see it. It's just right there in Scripture, in Scripture, in Scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 4, starting at verse 37. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them. Notice love and choosing going hand in hand here. And brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance, as it is this day. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath, there is none else. Thou shalt keep, therefore, his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. Now I want us to look at two aspects of verse 40. Thou shalt keep, therefore, his statutes. They couldn't do it. But God didn't say, and if you don't keep my commandments, you're no longer mine. Didn't say that. Elective love remains elective love. He just said that if you don't keep the commandments, it won't go well with you. It won't go well with you. Why? Because a father chastens his children. See? So therefore that he didn't take away election. We found with the one we've studied so often over in Ezekiel 36, 27, it says, and then I'll put my spirit upon you and you shall keep my judgments, statutes, and do them. Because they couldn't do it without the Holy Ghost. We can't do it without the Holy Ghost. But he gave them the commandment here, but we find in the book of Galatians that the law was a schoolmaster to teach them, you can't live the life. You can't live the life. You need somebody else in you to live the life. That's that life of Christ. But and then Brother Branham says, election is proven by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, for only the elect can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Election. Oh, it's wonderful. Now let's go a little bit further. Of course, it's wonderful when you're standing on this side of the fence, you know. Deuteronomy chapter 7 now. Chapter 7. Just one page over in my Bible. Verse 6. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all the people that are on the face of the earth. So now there's election again. God has chosen. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you. Election and love tied hand in hand. It goes on down now talking about this principle, but look at verse 11. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day. How did he end back over in chapter 4, verse 40? Thou shalt therefore keep the statutes and the commandments which I command thee this day. So therefore, what comes along with election? Keep the word. But this elect group first, now don't miss this. This first elect group was continually reminded, keep my word, keep my word, keep my word. But they couldn't keep it. They continually rebelled against God. Why? Because of the human nature is anti-God. It's pro-religious. Oh God, tell us what you want. We want to worship you. We want to serve you. But when it comes right down to the word, no, the human nature is not that way. Human nature is not that way, even in the elect. But God comes down to do a transformation in your life where all of a sudden you want to keep his word. And then initially you're struggling to keep the word, struggling to keep the word, and maybe like struggling to clean up your life. I can't get rid of these cigarettes. I can't quit lusting. I can't keep out of this junk on the web. I can't, there's something that just pulls you down. You just keep, I don't want to do that. And you fall back into it. Well, I don't want to do that. And I fall back into it. But Christ, he can come and lift us up above that. Amen. Christ. And how does he lift you up above it? He doesn't just pick you up and the whole thing's over. It doesn't work that way. There's an area of your life that you get the most frustrated with first. God, I got to have a change here. And he lifts you above it. But over here, you still got a problem. And so then finally he puts the spotlight on the word in that area in your life, and bang, he lifts you above that. And then you begin to say, oh, God is so wonderful. And then you find another problem and he works there. Why is it? It's like defeating first the Jebusites and then the Hittites and then the Amorites. There's no one. They didn't just set off an atomic bomb, wipe out the land and go in. They had to go in and nation by nation, enemy by enemy, take the land. And so you go in area by area, place by place in your own life and take the land. See? Because why? God promised it. Remember, every place that you put the soles of your feet, God told Joshua, it's yours. Soon as they walked onto it, it's yours. Now, what's walking for us? Stepping out by faith on God's word. Whether you feel it or not, you step out by faith on God's word. Now, what started all this in my thought process today? Just as I was leaving the office today, I asked Sister Suzanne, I says, would you mind calling the doctor and set me up with an appointment? I said, I've just had no energy in the mornings lately. I just can't get going. And I want to find out what's wrong with me. And I don't know whether it's just being 70 or if there's something wrong. Maybe it's just age. I don't know what it is, but I thought, well, I'll have him take a look at me and see what it is. And I got home and I thought, that was a negative confession. That was a negative confession. We're not supposed to, Brother Bram says, you're not supposed to let the enemy know where he's got you. Yeah. See? And so here I is, and I got home, and I thought, I did wrong with that. I did wrong with that. And so therefore, Christ, I want you to be my confession, and I want it. So therefore, I started flipping through some of the scriptures. And then the second thing that did it was, there's a brother out in the Northwest that's been sick and in bed. Some of you may know him. He's been sick and in bed for many months now. And he gets so bored and he calls people all over the place. And I'm one of the people that he calls. Just one of the many. I know that because I hear from everybody around. Oh, do you hear from so-and-so? Yeah, we all hear from him. But anyway, we have some long talks and I keep trying to focusing back to the same thing. He has become a walking encyclopedia on every health food imaginable. And because he tries this and he tries that and he tries this and he tries that and he's expecting some magic touch either out of the thing or, Brother Lonnie, do you know somebody that's got a gift of miracles or a gift of healing? I'd like to call him and have him pray for me. And I keep saying, Brother, the promises are yours. They're already in the scripture. So the last time he called me and he was talking to me about this new something that he had, and he said, boy, I'm beginning to feel a little bit better. I says, but don't get your focus on those things. Your focus is the word of God, and God, there is where your healing lays. And you get your eyes on all this other stuff. I says, God will allow you to linger, because he's going to get the glory, not some special health food concoction. See? And so I said, he's going to get the glory out of this. And he says, well, I believe the word of God, and I keep, now there's a way he words it. Let me think now. I keep asking God to heal me. I said, he's already healed you. I said, you've got to get a hold of that, brother. You've got to get a hold of that. Healing is already yours. I says, you spend a lot of time on the web. Right. I said, you spend a lot of time on the telephone. Right. I says, do you get into the tapes? He said, I listen to two or three every day. But he says, you can only listen to so many tapes and absorb. So I get bored. I start calling people. And I said, okay. I tell you what, let's do. I said, let's place a focus on your tape listening. Not just listen to a tape, put a focus there. You say, God, your prophet said the right mental attitude toward any promise of God will bring it to pass. So I said, therefore, brother, somewhere you don't have a right mental attitude. Because you wouldn't have gone on all these months. So therefore, I would be searching the tapes and praying, God, show me where I don't have the right mental attitude so that I can apprehend that which you've already done for me. So he said, okay, I'll focus on that. So then after my testimony to Sister Suzanne today, I thought, now, wait a minute, I got to get a right mental attitude here myself, because there's something going on in me. And if it's just age and that's the way it is, well, that's the way it is. But if it's not, then I don't want to be bogged down by it. So consequently, I want to be kind of, if you've ever been down in your body, you know that you feel like you just can't do your best when your body's pulling at you the wrong way, see? And so therefore I thought, okay, now I'm going to get my mental attitude right. So I was in studying. I was not only studying for you, I was studying for me too. And so I was looking at all these things and I typed into my computer, quote, right mental attitude, end quote, 49 times. Brother Branham used that statement. If you just have the right mental attitude toward God, any promise of God, it'll bring it to pass. And I'll share with you some of those in a minute. But this life abundantly principle, there's just no way to get around it, that God has promised us that. Now, did we read Deuteronomy 27 already? Okay, let's go there. Deuteronomy 27, verse 9. Just to kind of get the scene set for you, look back into chapter 26, verse 18. And the Lord has avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he has promised thee, and thou shouldest keep all his commandments. Now, 27, 9. And Moses and the priests and the Levites spake unto all Israel, saying, take heed and hearken, O Israel, this day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God, and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, these shall stand upon Mount Gerizim, and there's going to be a blessing coming. So here's the same principle. God has chosen you, therefore. God has chosen you, therefore. Now, I started searching out the therefores. And one of the primary things in the therefores in keeping the commandments of God was, you shall separate yourself from the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and all that stuff. You'll separate. You will not take their daughters for your sons. Neither will you give your daughters to their sons. You will remain a separated people, because if you don't remain a separated people and you marry into them, they will pull you off into idolatry. So along with election, one of the primary callings was the separated life. Now, I think there's a few people in our church who really don't have the slightest idea what a separated life is, because maybe they don't go to movie theaters, so therefore I live a separated life. Or they don't go to this or that, therefore I live a separated life. What the world has to offer, we're not interested in. And so every entanglement out there, every and any entanglement out there is infringing on those things. You almost hesitate to say some things. It used to be that a young man could look to some sports star as his idol and find some kind of role model. Now he's got a role model for chewing instead of smoking, or sounding off at the referee, or getting in trouble with the police, or tearing up hotels when he has his drinking times. Just no role model at all. So this little involvement of, well, I'm going to, I just like our WTGN, they have their sports programs on WTGN. I don't think the two go together myself. Now, they have their Christian sports stars. That's fine. But to get all involved in sports, I don't see what it has to do with Christianity. I just don't see it. There are certain games that we bring into our home. And I wonder, does the Holy Ghost feed on this? Yeah, but we need entertainment. Do you? Just throwing out questions. We're called to a separated life. Now, how far do we want to separate? Many of you might have read the article by Rebecca in that International Only Believe little thing that they put out. And she talked about the time that, in fact, I think Rapp mentioned it the other night here also when he was testifying. That he talked about it, but I'd read it in there too, which exactly matches my personal convictions that Brother Branham had brought them, I think it was a badminton set. And she and some of the other Christian girls would play badminton. And then one day some boys came over, and they all started to play badminton together. And Brother Branham tapped on the window and motioned her to come in the house. And he said, I bought that so that you girls could play together. Now, you're young ladies. You don't need to be playing out there with the boys that way. And so he just pulled it off. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. A lot of truth to that. And if the young girls don't understand it, ask Mom and Daddy about it. And if they'll think about it, they'll understand it too. There's just certain things that just need to be separated. Separated more than just swimming. They need to be separated. So we're called to that separated life. Now, what we're wanting is this election. We love it. But one of the responsibilities of election is separation. And thou shalt therefore keep all these commandments. So therefore, because of election and because of a calling in our life, we have this desire to get our soul right with God. Isn't that right? Now, who put that desire there? That's God. That's election. That's calling on your life. And so you now the principle now is get your focus off of your own life and now look at a new focus of God. How would you have me to live? How would you have me to look? How would you have me to dress? What kind of work would you like for me to do? And then, Lord, what can I do to bring glory to your name or edify the body or encourage the believers? What can I do? You can, this is all part of the program now, you can determine to be happy. That's a decision. You can determine to be happy, or you can let your moods and everything just take you up and take you down and feel like you've got a right to be this way. You're supposed to be reflecting Christ. Do you think he's that way? Do you think he's that way? I don't think he is. I don't think he's all sulky and moody one day, and then all happy and glorious the next day, and then all grumpy the next day, and then trying to draw attention to himself by certain ways that he acts, or control the people around him by his temperament. I don't think he does that. I don't think he does that. So therefore, in this separated life, and in manifesting our election, when we see those things in our own life, or it's called to our attention, don't run off and pout about it. Say, God, get that out of me. I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be that way. Women are more prone that way because of all of their chemical changes that their body goes through. And I think most men that understand those things will give them a little more grace. But nevertheless, that still, they need to be praying about God no matter what time of the month it is. I still want to reflect Christ. And so therefore, learn not just give in to those things. Well, it's just that time. And no, don't give in to those things. If it causes something that is non-Christ-like to come out in your life, then you are promised a victory over that. Am I getting too touchy? So watch your moods. If they don't manifest what you think Christ would manifest, then ask God to take those things out of you. Brother Cobb preached on it, and you might have read an article on it that came out the other day. That this colored church down in, I think it's Georgia, and they're a 3,000 member strong church, and the pastor there has dedicated an effort to get his people out of debt. He said it for your car, for your home, a big one like that, okay. But he says paying 20% interest on a credit card, he said you're squandering God's money and you're supposed to be a good steward. So consequently, he preaches those things, and so finally some of the people come, I got $10,000 on my credit card. I'm just barely making the interest payments. I don't know what I'm going to do. So he takes up a collection and pays it off. 3,000 members. And so they take up a collection, pay it off with the promise you'll never go back into debt again on those kind of things. And then a promise then that the next time we take up a collection for somebody else who wants to get out of debt, you'll put in at least $300. Well, that's pretty good for getting out of a $10,000 debt, and you got to put back $300. That's not bad at all. And so consequently, this is the way their program is working, and it made me think too. Everything I have, I am a steward of God. And for me to go out and buy something on a credit card that I can't pay off at the end of the month, I know I'm going to be carrying it, and I'm going to be paying 18, 19, 20% to that thing, and I'm supposed to be a steward of God's money, not a very good investment. So either he doesn't want me to have it, and I need to be paying for it by cash, saving for it, or maybe there's some other way, but still, this credit card credit is just absolute nonsense. And so you have to start thinking of yourself, I'm a child of God. I'm a steward of what God has placed in my hands. Now, how does God feel about me wasting 20% of this X amount every month on credit card debts? I don't think it's right. I think most people are going to have to go in debt for a car or home probably. But I think that's about it, unless, of course, you're in business and got to buy some big piece of equipment. Now, that's a different story. So then in our desires, I would list get out of debt, live a separated life, find your place where you can be of service to the people, get your focus in the right direction. How would God have you to live, look, act, be? And then I think we all want a whole body, a well body. And then in addition to that, I think we should expect to be sons of prosperity. I think we should just expect to be. Now, God sometimes will put us through schools where struggling is part of the school, and that's okay, because then you appreciate whatever kind of prosperity when it comes. But nevertheless, God puts you through those schools. I know very well from my experience and talking with other ministers that when you're called to the ministry and you first enter in the ministry, one of the first schools you're going to go through, you're going to barely make it financially for quite a few years before God finally begins to open up the gates a little bit. But God's in control, so that's okay, because it's part of the school. I know that when I first started ministering, one time Brother Perry Green asked me, he said, Brother Lonnie, just out of curiosity, he said, if you go preach 3 meetings on a weekend somewhere, how much do they give you? So I told him, and he says, man, he says, that's not right. He says, they'd give me at least 3 times that much. And I said, hey, I'm a beginner. You start out at beginner's wages and you grow into it. And he says, well, at least you got a good attitude about it. I said, oh, it'll all straighten out in time. Just everything in its time. Because God has to put you through these schools. Now, in the sermon way back in the 1950s, Brother Branham preached a sermon more than once called Expectations. And he laid out with absolute assurance, you get what you expect. You get what you expect. And so I've tried to lay out a little bit in our life of what we can expect. I think we can expect to have well bodies. I think we can expect that because he purchased our healing. I think we can be free from sin habits. I think we can be free from things that are non-Christ-like, that just tear you down. I think we've got a right to claim a victory over those things. I think we have a right to claim that. That's part of our inheritance. So consequently, I expect those things to take the place. I'm expecting, unless she got me a doctor's appointment, very, very quickly, I'm expecting that I'm going to have to cancel the appointment because I'm going to be 100% okay. I'm just expecting that because I just anchored something in my soul that I think I've got a right mental attitude toward that promise and I'm going to claim it. So we're just going to hang on to that. Brother Branham says, don't look to the gifts in the church for your healing. He says, God has already promised that in his word. That's right. It's already yours. He sent his word and healed him. So that's already there. So all we have to do is look to Christ. Look to Christ. Like Moses held up the serpent on the stick. Look to that. Now in these right middle attitude things, I just want to read a few of them to you. Here's the first one. Brother Bram says, I say this with a challenge in faith that every promise of God will be brought to pass if you take the right mental attitude toward it. That's right. Look at it. Believe it. Now, I want you to watch this one. This was interesting. This is the only really long one I've got. It's in a sermon called God Revealing Himself back in 1950. And Brother Branham was talking to this person in the prayer line. And you learn a lot by, you're going to learn a lot by what he says to this lady and some of the conclusions the Holy Spirit brings out, and then why he talked to her the way he did. That's what I'm wanting you to see now. Now, do you believe that God will hear my prayer? I shall do all that I know how to do for you. Ask God, and then God will make you happy. And would you believe what I tell you if I told you every word the truth? Isn't that right? If it is, if you'll raise up your hand, every word going to be the truth. Now, you believe if I would tell you then that it would leave you. You would know I told you the truth because I told you the truth on this side. So in other words, if I tell you your condition now, then I tell you what's going to happen. You should believe both of them if you know this part was the truth. But I wouldn't tell you unless it left you. Now, you would know that it left you because right now you're standing and it's bothering you. Listen now, weary and the sun looks gloomy and everything like that. And everything seems like a phobia. You get scared at things. It isn't normal. Isn't that right? Now, standing longer and longer, we just make it just keep thinking. You're wanting to get well, and I'm going to ask Jesus now to heal you. I believe he will do it. Don't you, sister? All right. Now, just come a little closer. Now, you've had quite a struggle in life. Anyhow, you know what I'm speaking of there? I don't have to say it because there is this is alive here. You see, but you know what I'm speaking of. Oh, Heavenly Father, by your Spirit, look down through the stream of time. And you're here, dear Jesus. You're so lovely and kind, and we love you with all our hearts. And our sister standing here has been bound by an oppression of Satan. Listen to this. Foul spirits have tried to put pride upon her. Now, thou art here to remove this curse of the enemy. Isn't that amazing? Oppression, pride, curse. For you said in the last words of your through your sacred lips, as you were leaving this world, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they'll cast out. Help me, dear God, this duel of faith against the enemy. Now, thou foul spirit that's bound this woman, blank spot, Calvary shedding his blood freely, that you and all your kind in the representative name of blank spot give a gift of divine healing ministered blank spot I adjure thee by the Son blank spot to be that you come out of this woman. There it went, blank spot. That's exactly what you ask for. Now, how many times, now this may seem strange, everybody be reverent. Now, if you can get the person, just what I was trying to do was get her in the right mental attitudes so she wouldn't have to be prayed for. That right mental attitude toward any promise of God will bring it to pass. You believe that? Now, the word is a seed that a sower sowed in the ground, and every seed will bring forth of its kind. If you need salvation, the seed's here. If you need healing, here's the seed in the word. The word of God is a seed. You put it in your heart. Don't dig it up every morning and see if it's sprouted. Put it in there and leave it there. It's God's business to bring forth the harvest. You just leave it there, water it by faith, praise every day, thanking God for it. All right. Now, that combination of spirits and then him talking to you or explaining all this, what was he trying to do? Get her right mental attitude toward the promise of God where she was ready to accept, and then he prayed for her. Medicine doesn't heal you. You take the life out of there. There's no healing. Life is the healer and life is God. Jesus came that you might have abundance of life, more life than what your normal life is, to believe on him, to be healed by faith. I'm not excited. I know what I'm speaking of. The right mental attitude toward any promise will bring it to pass. There it is. Now, what are you talking about gifts for? Gifts are to edify. They're additions. Here is the first and only foundation for divine healing or anything from God is the Bible. If you get off of that, you're out of the will of God. That right mental attitude, that's your toward the God's promise, will any divine promise will bring it to pass. Now we're up into 1953. You don't know how you'll get up out of that chair and get away from here tonight? See? You don't know how you're going to do this, how these other diseases are going to be healed, but at thy word, Lord, I'm going to let down the net. At thy word, Lord, I'm going to rise up from here. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but at thy word, Lord, that's it. Take God at his promise. God's spoken word must, will materialize and produce exactly what it says it will. Now, if we are like the lady feeling dreary and weary and defeated, that's not God. So we have a right to rise above that, to claim, pick up our sword and go against the enemy to say, I'm not going to stay this way. I am not going to stay this way. You're not going to have victory over me. Sickness, in my case, can't get up and get going in the morning. Getting up, I do, but feeling like doing something, I didn't feel like it till about noon, almost, well, actually about 10:30, 11. And this, it was just struggle. Not laziness, it isn't the same. There was just something about it. My body just didn't want to cooperate. But I'm claiming victory. I'm claiming victory. I'm going to that fire of God come in and burn that thing out. I've told you before, I've claimed what Caleb said. He says, Lord, here I am at 85 years old, still going out to war with the young men just as strong as I was then. Yes. And so I said, okay, Lord, I'm claiming Caleb's victory. Amen. And when last few times when I've been overseas, I've been preaching with a whole bunch of young men, and I'm the old timer. And I said, yep, here I am, still at war with the young men, you know. So says, listen, the right mental attitude toward any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. I don't care what it is. If you want corn, plant corn. Water the corn, leave the corn alone. It'll produce corn. Is that right? You want wheat, plant the wheat, water the wheat, leave it alone, it'll produce wheat. The promise of salvation will produce a Christian. The promise of the Holy Ghost will bring it to you. Promise of divine healing will make you well. Any divine promise of God, and the Bible said that the word of God is a seed. Is that right? So then if you set out this acorn in your yard and it just keeps growing, but you can praise God as soon as you get the acorn, see, because you've got the tree already. Is that right? I am the Lord that healeth thee. Just start praising. You've got it. You've got it right then. But I don't see any results. But that don't make any difference. You've got it anyhow, because the word of God is a seed. Is that right? We sow it. We are sowed with the incorruptible seed of God. It can't perish. It's incorruptible. And here's a statement that I usually make in a healing service. The right mental attitude toward any promise of God will bring it to pass, because it's a seed. It has to. And if the right mental attitude, you just take the right mental attitude toward any promise, watch it materialize. No matter how it looks, if it looks impossible, if God said so, he makes it possible. Isn't that wonderful, he said. Amen. So what I want you to do right now, I'm going to ask you to get quiet for just a minute. Expectations. And I don't want you to say, oh Lord, I need, or oh God, I'm in need of. I don't want that. I want you to take whatever that is that's on your mind, whatever it is, because everybody's got something they need. Whatever it is, and I just want you to think about it, focus on it in the light of what we talked about it, until an expectation comes. I expect victory tonight. Are you with me? Not just, well, I believe your word, Lord, and I know that it'll come to pass. I don't want that. I want you to just focus for a little while and just kind of put your head down and think about it, what it is you want to focus on. And then when you've got the expectation, then I want you to look up so that I'll know you've got it. Now, I'm going to share an adult situation with you out of my own life. This is not the kind of thing you like to look at, but I like to even talk about, but it's something that to me was just wonderful. And that is, men are cursed with this thing called sex drive. And as a single man, that thing bothered me for years and years. Just, God, help me. And then suddenly I realized, and I've mentioned this to you before, but I've never taken the time to go into it a little more detail. Suddenly I realized I had committed salvation to him. I have committed divine healing to him. I've committed all kinds of things to him, but I never committed sex drive. Somehow I thought that was my problem. And I know very well that if I did that, that many of you men do the very same thing. Suddenly all this one thing, you think, well, that's my problem, and you don't think about committing it to God. And I'll tell you, I had the most glorious victory ever since that time when I suddenly realize my body is not my body. I have been bought with a price. This is the body of Jesus Christ who lives in me. And I don't have to let him take care of everything but my sex drive, and then I have to battle that. No, I don't have to do that. I can say, God, your body's sending me messages I don't want to hear. Take care of your body. And he does it. He absolutely does it. Now, this is all this area now, whatever it is. Keep in mind, your body is not yours. So therefore, the caretaker of your body is Christ. And he's your Savior. He's your healer. If you've got a problem in your mind, he is your peace. He is your joy. And so just now, just put your heads down and do what I've asked you to do. That which I want expectation that is going to, it will come to pass in my life, then God, either have the preacher give me the answer or let me listen to it on a tape or read it in a book or you settle it in my heart. But God, I need that little extra touch and just expect it somewhere between now and let's say Sunday night. We'll just set it there. Brother Barry's going to preach for Sunday. I don't know what he's going to preach on, but let's just set it there. Say, Lord, I'm setting myself now. I'm hoping to, expecting to hear from you somewhere between now and Sunday, because I want victory over this thing in my life, or I want deliverance, or I want help, or whatever. I need this. And so now, let's just pray about our expectation, okay? Let's pray one more time. Now, Lord Jesus, a prophet which speaks the word of God said that with expectation, we can receive what we're looking for. If we expect it, we can receive it. And so, Lord, based on the word of God, now with expectation in our hearts, we're expecting, Lord, that many in the morning when they get up, maybe even yet tonight, they're going to have a victory they've never had, or a feeling they've never had, or a deliverance, or a new attitude, a new outlook, whatever it is they're calling for, Lord, that it's going to start right away. And we're just going to give it one night for starting, Lord, just so that we can rest on it and wake up in the morning and know that we're starting. And as the rising of a new day, may it be the rising of a new day in our hearts, Lord, that we can just start moving forward now, claiming that promise, that expectation that has come into our hearts. And God, we're just going to rest on that because we believe it's according to your word. And that those, Lord, who still can't quite get the expectation on it, God, would you just speak to them some way just in the next few days, Lord, so that this thing won't be lingering, Lord, that they'll find their answer, find their solution, find whatever it is, Lord, that they know that the acorn's been planted and they're on their way out. The tree will come forth. It's a settled issue because it will come forth. The seed will bring the crop. And we absolutely know it. We absolutely rest in it. And that we do in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise be to God. Brother Barry Coffey will be with us on Sunday. Jeff is supposed to be back either Saturday or Sunday. Not sure yet. He wants to take the next Wednesday service next week. It's because he's anxious to talk to the people. And then Brother Jason Watkins called me today and we had a nice long talk. And he had been with the brothers, of course, in the family camp. He gave me his look of family camp. And then he went from family camp in Russia down to Brother Anatoly Strelkov's church in Belarus. And there'd been some struggles in the church down there that have been going on. And I've been writing Anatoly about those things, but it needed a little personal touch. And Jason had told me, he said, I've just got it so heavy in my heart to go by the church in Belarus. He said, even more than family camp, I feel I must go by the church in Belarus. So he flew into Moscow, went over to the Veliki Luki family camp, came back to Moscow, caught the train down to Belarus, and then went back up again after 3 or 4 days in Belarus. But some of you may or may not know, there was a split in Jason's church some time back. And of course, to a pastor, this is destructive, you know, because you always take the blame to yourself. What did I do wrong? How did I not handle things right? What brought this on? And so he was just destroyed for many weeks. In fact, actually thinking about just giving up pastorship was just really. And so brothers like Jeff and myself and others were encouraging him. And then just Something happened where he just all of a sudden he turned around and he said, it's over. I got the victory. I know everything is going to be okay. And of course, as soon as he did, his church stabilized right out because they could feel the stability now in the pastor. And so it just straightened right out. And the thing's just been going on wonderfully since. So therefore, when he went over to Anatoly's place, Anatoly's church was going through the same thing. There was one man who was very, very upset about things. And I knew trouble was going to come from that man. I could pick it up in his spirit. And yet Anatoly loved so close that man, and I didn't bother telling him, but I could pick it up and said, this guy's trouble. And so sooner or later he was. And so he just kept stirring up the church, stirring up the church, stirring up the church. And so Anatoly, same thing. He says, well, what's wrong with me? Am I out of my calling? And he was taking it all onto himself. So Jason, just following scripture, God says you'll get into a situation and God will comfort you, so that you can comfort others with the comfort wherewith he comforted you. So all he did was go over there, see the situation. He says, ah, this is what I just went through. And then shared with him the very things that the brothers had been sharing with him that gave him the victory, and it gave Anatoly the victory. And so the next morning, Anatoly came out to Jason and he says, the cloud is gone. The sunshine is shining. The weight is lifted off of my back. He said, I'm free. I know everything is going to be okay. And so he was just so happy. And so Jason then knew exactly why he had come. It wasn't to preach to the people. It was to be a help to Anatoly. And so then, of course, in the services, he ministered along the lines that was needed for that, for pulling the church together. And it just worked wonderfully. And then as Satan would do, when he left, just as he was leaving, he got a hold of something, either bad water or bad food. And he said he just got deathly sick. And he said the train trip from Belarus to Moscow, said he was just so sick. He said, I thought I was going to die. He said, I was so sick. And he says, they said, as soon as the brothers met me at the train station in Moscow, they could see I wasn't well. So they took me right, put me to bed. But he said, I was scheduled to preach that night. But he says a lot of the people had stuck around those few days from the family camp waiting for me to come back and preach. So he said, I felt I couldn't back out because I felt good. So he says, I got up just about in time for service and got dressed. And he said, the anointing comes on in the pulpit and you're okay. I've had it happen I don't know how many times. So overseas and just be so sick, get in the pulpit, and the anointing will drive everything away. And then when you finish preaching, it's all back again. And so that was what happened. He said he finished preaching, went outside and started vomiting. But he says the next morning then after that said he felt great and just really felt great. So he said that the saints had been praying for him. So anyway, he had a great victory and a great, great time over there also. And we were undecided what his church was going to do because of the split situation that's been going on, troubles for a few months. But anyway, his church, he said he wanted to reaffirm that his church wants to stand solidly with ours in the work in Russia. And Eugene and his church wants to do the same. Eugene, by the way, if you don't know it, is pastoring he was like an associate minister in Edmonton, but now the pastor left and he is now the pastor in that church. How many remember Ron McCafferty? Okay, since you know him, hold him up in your prayers. He's going through one tremendous battle. Tremendous battle. He's thinking about leaving the ministry, leaving his wife. Just battle. Big battle. And of course he'll destroy his future. No telling where he'll go if he moves in that direction. But he's really going through it right now. So really uphold him in prayer that God will bring him through this thing, because it's really got him ripped to shreds. Expectations. Amen. How many feel like you got something tonight from the Lord? Amen. Amen. Me too. I feel like in studying it out, I got it too. And so musicians, if you'd come forward. Brother Gene, can I ask you to come up and close this in prayer? And he knew that was coming. I could see by the grin on his face. It's funny how you pick out those things. You just get a little warning ahead of time. He's going to call me.
I knew he was going to call me because I've been having arthritis and it's leaving me. My hands was hurting, my legs were hurting, but they are not now. My expectation is total recovery. Amen. Let's bow our heads.
Our Heavenly Father, we know that you are the supreme being. You're the one that
that loved us from the beginning of the world, Father, before the foundation of the world. And now, Father, we are here trying to manifest, Father, with all we know how, according to your word. And you have provided that word to us, Father, and you provide us with a fivefold ministry. And Lord, let us walk according to that word. We thank you for this, Father, and we give you the praise and glory in all the things you have done for us. Guide us and direct us as we go home, Father. Let not the cares of the world come back upon us overwhelmingly, Father, but just let us always think upon you. In Jesus Christ's name, we love you and praise you. Amen.
Amen. Praise be to God. Let's sing the one Brother Tom was singing a while ago. That sounds a very appropriate one. More than ever, Brother Tom, Lord, right to the Lord.